OCTalkRadio.net.
It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible. With your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
So, welcome to Pilgrim Talks with Pilgrim on the 405. We're doing a very interesting conversation today. We've been talking over the past couple of weeks about how to stimulate job creation. What can we do to bring new jobs into Southern California? We've talked to leaders of business incubators and business accelerators. We've talked to educators. We've talked to financial people. And today we're going to talk to a politician. We're going to talk to a candidate for mayor in Orange. We're going to ask about what can be done from a regional or city perspective to help businesses create new jobs, because that is the point that we're looking at. We absolutely believe that the way to move the economy is to create new jobs. Now, we also know that business owners will create new jobs when they believe that there will be more revenue, more income coming into their business. And the way to do that in today's business is not necessarily cutting, because I think most people have cut as much as they can cut. But it means new sales, new opportunities to generate that revenue. And then also that means that people have to go out and prospect. They have to go out and look for those opportunities and help to create them. So we're going to be talking to Teresa Smith, also known as Tita Smith, who's a candidate for mayor. She sits on the city council in Orange now. So we're going to be talking with Teresa about what she thinks local government can do to help businesses create new jobs. So welcome, Tita.
Thank you, Will. My pleasure to be with you this afternoon.
Well, so tell me a little bit about how did you get, you're not born a politician, right?
Oh, no, not at all, unless you want to consider that I'm the oldest of seven children.
Oh,
so
that was
I held office before others in my family.
Right. Well, all right, so tell me a little bit about how you came to be on the city council in Orange.
Well, it's a wonderful story, Will. I'm born and raised in Orange. I was born at St. Joseph's Hospital, and my grandparents on both sides, my mother's parents and my father's, both came to Orange in the 1920s. And my grandfather, Hayes, my mother's father, was an orange grower, and he had a business from his first day in Orange, started growing oranges, and was very involved in business, which I hope to get to tell you a little bit more about that. Being in town all these years, I had always looked at and loved our beautiful Old Town neighborhood. And in the late 70s and 80s, it was really under attack, you might say. There was a lot of demolition of the beautiful old homes, replacement with modern structures that didn't really fit. And I got involved in historic preservation in the Old Town area. And that led to me being noticed by the city fathers and mothers, and I was appointed to the Planning Commission in 1992, largely for my efforts in helping to preserve both the business district and the residential district of Old Town Orange. And then from the Planning Commission, serving almost 13 years, in a moment of weakness, my friends talked me into running for city council, because there were two seats open where incumbents were not running. And I ran in 2004 and came in second in a field of 12 where there were two seats open. So I was elected in 2004. And that's how I happened to be now on the Orange City Council.
Wow. And so how long was that? How long have you been on the council?
8 years ago.
Oh, wow. You must have seen lots of changes.
Well, yes, and it's been some good changes and mostly some bad changes because, as you know, our big recession hit, 5 years ago. So the glory days and the biggest budget we had ever had in 2004, I believe it was $96 million budget in the city of Orange, quickly dwindled to an $82 million dollar budget, as low as $79 million budget, with the same staff and expectation of services for our people. So that was a big change. The other change was that with a fiscally oriented and fiscally conservative council, we were able to bridge that gap and came out this year in the fifth year with almost $1 million in the bank to start our fiscal year 2012-13, and that required a lot of changes in our business community and also on our city staff.
Does that mean you had to lay people off?
We did not lay off one person in Orange. We facilitated a process of freezing vacant positions. This was one of our strategies. We really had five strategies, and one of them was to freeze vacant positions. So if someone retired or left of their own accord, we didn't fill the spot. And that was a big change because that meant providing city services with a lighter crew and also maybe not being able to provide as many services as we had in the past. But in Orange, people are so wonderful, realizing what we were up against. There really has not been much of a notice of difference in service, but that's one of the ways that we mitigated this crisis, the financial crisis that our nation had faced.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's causing you to put your name in to be a candidate for mayor?
Well, I really think I'm the most qualified person to be the mayor at this time of those that have put their hat in the ring. I have lived in Orange, as I told you, all my life. My parents and grandparents were very involved in our community, and so I've got a really nice history of being involved in a lot of local community organizations, the YWCA, the Pitchett Park Community Foundation, Old Town Preservation Association, Orange Senior Center Board, Orange Housing Development Corporation, many organizations that have built and celebrated Orange. And so I have a nice record of leadership and volunteer service. And to tell you the truth, Will, I just love Orange. I'm so happy to be part of five generations in Orange. And my father and grandfather proudly sport that they had a running business in Orange for 65 years. And so business, small business, especially in Orange, is very important to me, to our family. And I believe with what I know about financial planning and the business community of Orange that I can be helpful to jumpstarting and enhancing our business community now. And also, I want to preserve the essence, what I call the essence of Orange, our fabulous public safety, our strong infrastructure, our great clean water, good roads, safe neighborhoods, and especially all of our wonderful events, the tree lighting, the July 3rd, celebrating our independence, treats in the streets, and all of those good things. So I'm not seeking any higher office. This would be the last office I would run for as mayor of Orange, and I would love to be of service to my hometown.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you think government can do to help small businesses create new jobs.
Well, I know that some people think that government should completely stay out of the business world, but I think that there really has to be some sort of partnership because government provides so many things in a community like public safety, police and fire services, and the infrastructure. And the business community, I think, is the group that comes up with the creativity and the ideas of what businesses will serve the local community. And I am really pleased that Orange has such a strong partnership with our Chamber of Commerce and with so many businesses in Orange. You know, each year we have a State of the City luncheon where we choose three of the best businesses in Orange and highlight them and honor them, which is an incentive to other businesses to maybe get that award next year. And there are several things that our city does to work with business, and I have some other ideas about how we could improve that. Would you like me to tell you a little bit about what the city and the community partners with now in
sure.
business services?
Absolutely.
Well, for one thing, we have a great relationship with the Chamber of Commerce. And the Orange Chamber of Commerce, I can remember from the time I was a little girl, has really been a strong entity in Orange. The Orange Chamber of Commerce used to put on the annual May Festival parade and carnival when I was a kid, and even up to when I was a young bride in the late 60s. And that was an attempt to both raise money for the chamber to help businesses and also celebrate in the community. The city also has a program that businesses may not know about unless they have a startup business or maybe they had a crisis. And it's called the BEST program. It stands for Business Enhancement Service Team. And this is through our economic development arm of the City of Orange. And it means that if a business owner is starting a business that requires maybe a building and setbacks and improvements in that, they go to the top of the list where a group of four department heads will meet with them and troubleshoot what it is they need to get up and running quickly. The BEST team also comes into play if that business were to have a fire or water damage or something that was a bump in the road for them. The BEST team will also go into full swing to try to get them back in business as soon as possible. The other thing that's happened more recently with difficulties in our economy, Will, are that our city has relaxed many of our longstanding regulations that seem to make sense in good economic times. And I'm talking about our signage code in Orange, which makes Orange the nice, aesthetically visually pleasing community that it is. We've been relaxing that signage code, not being quite as stringent as new signs go up. And we've allowed folks to put in, you know, those pretty banners that stand, I call them feather signs, that they're like 8 feet tall or so that wave in the wind. Those aren't really allowed in our code, yet right now we are allowing businesses to put them up without any permission or signage. They just can put them up. And another code that Orange has, and it started many years ago for a funny reason, but our code doesn't allow for the display of goods in front of businesses, even including flowers. And this came from many years ago. One of our plumbing businesses had a big display of toilets out in front of the business. And many members of the community complained about it. So there's an ordinance that says you can't display goods in front of the business. Well, right now, you'll notice all over Orange, especially in Old Town, there are goods displayed because we are trying to help people to get back on their feet and to draw customers in. And another thing in Orange, in many of our business districts, we have relaxed our parking codes. Our town is 124 years old, so some of the places where businesses exist, there wasn't really parking in those days, especially in the Old Town area. So we've done our best to encourage people to come in and be able to park, but not be able to, for instance, have employees park in front of the store all day, taking the spaces of much-needed customers. And so those are just some of the things that we've done right now.
Well, that certainly sounds like a council who is looking to remove obstacles for businesses who want to grow.
That's absolutely the case. Orange has been founded on small businesses for all these many years. Small business is the heart and soul of this community, and so this council is no different than any of our previous mothers and fathers of the city in encouraging business to come to Orange, to stay in Orange, and to grow in Orange.
What is it that you think that could be done further to help businesses create new jobs?
Well, I would really like to be known as the jobs mayor, and realistically speaking, I don't know how much I could do in the short time. The mayor's term is 2 years, and then I would need to run again for another 2 years and another 2 years, and then I'd be termed out. But certainly within a couple of years, what the theme I would like to put out there is that I would love to launch a program where each business in Orange tries to add one job, even if that is a part-time job. If we were able to do that, we have 20,000 business licenses in Orange. If even half of those businesses could create one job, it would increase our job bank by 10,000 jobs in the city of Orange. And the way that I think folks could do that is I would like to put together a jobs task force, which would include the leaders of successful large businesses and small businesses, and especially the entrepreneurial spirited businesses, who would look at the larger community saying that if business for all of us improves, each of our businesses improves. And I'd like to sit down with them and brainstorm about what we specifically could do. Is it a quick marketing plan, an email program, a series of small seminars? What is it we can do to come together and say, let's grow business in Orange? And I think it has kind of a nifty theme, too, because our community for many decades thrived on growing oranges. So let's grow business in Orange.
Now, what do you think some of the obstacles are to job growth or growing business in Orange?
Well, one thing is that by the very nature of business, there's competition, and folks may be reluctant to assist a competitor in getting better and maybe hurting their own business. I want to echo just the sentiments of a very successful businessman in Old Town Orange, and that's Mr. Scott Parker, who is our community pharmacist and the owner of Watson's Drugstore. And as newer businesses were coming in, the restaurants coming in, people would say to Scott, oh, Scott, aren't you worried? They're going to take away your lunch business. They're going to take away your breakfast business. And Scott has always said, at least for the last 15 years that I've been talking to him, the more businesses that come into Old Town, the better it is for me, because it will draw more people to come dine in Old Town. And I would like to think that we could continue that type of theme in Orange. Our community is really famous for staying alive, good property values, safe neighborhoods, wonderful businesses. We've weathered these storms before, and leaders could still sit around the table and assist each other in networking. You know, we've just done a huge revamp of what used to be called the Block at Orange. It's now called the Outlets at Orange, with some remarkable big-name high-end stores coming in with their outlets. And that was a lot of fancy footwork at a bad time in our economy when we lost the redevelopment funding, and yet our economic development people, our chamber, and the entrepreneurs that have decided to come into the outlets in Orange have been very successful. That's a big example of how people have joined together to enhance our businesses.
Well, when you look at those 20,000 business licenses in Orange, can you describe some of the businesses? I mean, what does the face of business look like in Orange? Are there large businesses? Are they primarily small service organizations?
I think we have all levels of business. Will, we have large, medium, and small. We have a fabulous company in Orange called MSI, which is the largest purveyor of stone, rock, and tile in the United States of America. Little known fact that they are in Sweet Sweet Orange. We also have a number of service-oriented businesses, many businesses from people's home in terms of sales, service, lots of gals who do jewelry business and baking business and fabric and clothing and things like that. We also have SC Fuels, which is one of the largest distributors of oil and gasoline in the United States, right here on Catella in the city of Orange. It's a giant business. We also have a very large car sales industry led by Mr. Dave Wilson and his expertise in car dealerships, and all the way to including a wonderful previously owned vehicles business, Orange Empire. My good friend Stu Livingstone runs that business. Those are on the larger end of business. But then we have the folks who run the payroll businesses, that run restaurants, the coffee shops, all different things, sports equipment, clothing. You never have to leave Orange to get what you need to live a good life. When I was first married, my husband and I were married in 1968, and we lived in Old Town about two blocks from the downtown area. And I remember we only had one car, which was typical in that era, and my husband would take it to work. And I could walk downtown and get absolutely everything that we needed, because there was groceries, a bakery, there were children's shoes, there was yardage, stationery, everything was downtown. And of course that changed, but I guess the canvas got bigger, because still in Orange, at least for our family, there's everything we need. We have to go out a little farther, but there's larger stores and specialty stores that meet our needs. Orange is just a fabulous, fabulous community and very balanced.
Well, it sounds like you've got some very forward-looking people there who are paying attention to the small-town values, especially. It sounds very much like the small town that I grew up in South Texas, Edinburgh, Texas.
Okay.
When there was an issue, the city fathers and a few mothers in that time, in the 50s and the 60s, when I was there, I mean, they got together and they solved the problems. When they wanted to improve the junior college and turn it into a university, they got on the bus and went to Austin, Texas, and lobbied many times. And now it is Pan America, University of Texas at Pan American.
Oh, my goodness.
When they wanted to create new jobs, they said, we need some industry here. So they went out and recruited Hager Slacks. And through the redevelopment program, the county development office, they built a plant and helped that company come and created, I think it was 300 or 400 or 500 jobs for people.
Oh, that's great. And I didn't even mention the industrial business. We've had industrial sites in Orange since the beginning of our history, 124 years ago, and industry is very big. It's hardly noticeable, though, because it's the landscape and the building design is also beautiful. It's incorporated right there along with residential. But we also have a very vibrant industrial community in Orange. I think what I'm just saying is that we have a history of successful business in Orange, and I would just love to bring some of the people who are responsible for that together as a jobs task force and talk about what it would take even to grow jobs, even to the point if you can only afford a half-time position, maybe there's another business that has a similar need that would pay the other half of that position, say for office work or receptionist or particular task. And there, you've created one job. That's what I'm talking about, is trying to get paychecks back on the table so that people are becoming, again, self-sufficient, and, of course, to me, very important, back to gaining their sense of dignity and respect that having a job brings.
Well, that's wonderful. Tita, I want to talk to you a little bit more about some of the strategies that you're talking about that might help to get business leaders to thinking about what they can do concretely to create new jobs. We're going to take a break here. Can you stick around after the break?
I'd be happy to, Will. Thank you.
We'll be right back to you after we hear a word from our sponsors.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted. I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Do you want a free analysis of your inbound marketing? Do you want it in 30 seconds or less? Then check out Marketing Grader, the free marketing tool from HubSpot. It's simple. Just go to marketinggrader.com, enter the URL that you want to analyze, and Marketing Grader will instantly give you a detailed report grading your lead generation, mobile marketing, social media, competitive benchmarking, and more. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's free. MarketingGrader.com. And now back to Will and his guest.
Well, we've been talking with Tita Smith, candidate for mayor and one of the city council members in Orange. We're talking about what can local government do to encourage, support business leaders in creating new jobs. And Tita's been talking about some of the ideas she has about putting together a task force of business people, business leaders, and other leaders in Orange to talk about how to create new jobs and new businesses in Orange. So, Tita, let me ask you, do you see a part for Chapman University be playing in the job development in Orange?
Oh, very definitely, and I'm very glad that you mentioned that. Let me just say as an aside, I love to tell you anecdotes about Orange. The campus where Chapman University is where my parents attended Orange Union High School. My father was student body president in 1943, and my mother graduated in 1945. So my parents actually attended Orange Union High School in those historic buildings there. And I'm so pleased that Chapman now has the campus and is making such great strides to developing it. I think Chapman can play many important parts in the development of our economy. One is that President Jim Doty has such a magnificent personal expertise in economics, in business growth, and how that the many elements that affect the environment of business. And he has other people there, Professor Adibi, who also works with the economic forecast, and a very strong business school. So it's not out of the question that we could get some students involved, and maybe graduate students, to assist with business plans, with strategic planning, with surveys, with public opinion polls, all those things that businesses use in order to be successful. And also, of course, Chapman infuses thousands and thousands of students into the community. And that's sort of a mixed blessing for us because students are here for the short time, and I guess you would say their shopping needs are limited or targeted, but if we were to get that formula of what students need and what kind of businesses they will support, that would be good. Certainly we've seen the restaurants that they like. We know that, the restaurants that they frequent. And also for Chapman, something that has been good is aesthetically Chapman is doing a great job of being good neighbors, and that draws people into our community that are not impacted adversely by their buildings and classrooms and structures, but actually advantageously, that it looks so nice. Also, Chapman have been extremely generous to both the city with our community programs, community service programs, and to businesses in supporting so many aspects of economic growth in the city of Orange. And so I think Chapman can be even more important. I think they're underutilized right now. We're not tapping into that like we could.
Well, I know that Chapman has a very strong entrepreneurial department or school to help innovators and to help students learn how to be entrepreneurs. I've interviewed Ray Chan, one of the founders of K5 Launch, which is a business accelerator on the campus of Chapman. And I wonder if there's a place there for Ray to be part of your task force, and wonder if there's, I think they have 10 to 15, maybe 20 new companies that go through their program, and I try to remember, I think it's a 12-week program. And those companies in that 12 weeks, and they're going to need to find a place to be. I wonder if there's some support that might come from the community in terms of helping them to put down roots in Orange.
I would love to meet Ray and to assist him in finding a spot to put on that seminar. That is exactly the kind of thing that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, do you have statistics about the number of jobs in Orange? Is there anything that gets down that granular?
There probably is, and I am remiss in not bringing that to you today, Will. I'm sure that our Chamber of Commerce has some sort of numbers. What I did was research the number of business licenses we have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those businesses, you know, only include one person. Others are very large, up to, like, St. Joseph's Hospital, which I think employs close to 4,000 people in the city of Orange. Do you have an idea of how many jobs are in Orange?
No, I think that'd be fascinating to find out. And then the next question would be is is there a number for unemployment in Orange, or is it only in Orange County? Is that the smallest that it goes? I mean, would that be possible to put together a number and to be able to monitor that?
Yes, it would be very possible. And I believe the Chamber probably already has that information. I do not have it with me today. But the Chamber is the keeper of that kind of data, and they have a great website. They have probably 3 or 4 events every single week, Profit Connection, issues, breakfast, economic development, luncheon, mixers, so many things to encourage businesses to network. And that would be part of what I would put in place with the Jobs Task Force. And also, I could speak with them. I've been a member of the Chamber for nearly 15 years. And, of course, I have their endorsement for this City Council race, which I'm very pleased about, and see if we could get some of that information up on their website. The other thing is that just this past week, I was invited to a magnificent business group called BNI, Business Networking International. And I was invited by a State Farm agent, Mr. Adam Guss, who is the president of BNI, and they meet at a local restaurant every week, every Wednesday morning. And their task is to grow their businesses and network. And it was just a fascinating, fascinating experience of how much this group got done in an hour and a half, completely focused on giving referrals to each other, on giving tips to each other on what practices had worked and not worked for them. Some of them learning public speaking, learning introductions to each other, learning marketing. And they actually went around the room and said, this group needs an electrician. This group needs a mover. This group needs a doctor. Bring them in. See who you can get engaged in our group. And that was the kind of energy that I was looking for. I was invited by Mr. Gus to be their guest speaker because I'm running for mayor and because I've been endorsed by the chamber. But more interesting groups like that, in building and collaborating with business, that's what I'm thinking would just make the whole question electric and orange rather than, the gloom and doom story that we sometimes tend to concentrate on.
You know, I have a fantasy that I'll share with you, and that fantasy is that there is maybe in every community in Orange County a huge billboard that says, in the past month, this community, this town, this city added X number of jobs, 30 jobs, 50 jobs, to the companies in this particular community, and here are the companies who did that.
Oh, that's a great idea. Great idea.
And I'd like to, and my fantasy is that those would become very competitive.
To get your name on the billboard.
Well, to get your name on the billboard, for the competition could also be competitive between the cities.
Oh, very nice. That would be very nice. And something that would benefit all of us, too.
Well, of course.
We don't have that many billboards in Orange, I have to tell you, Will, first thing. But I think there's three. So if we could get one of those, or even, a billboard would be fabulous. So maybe we could get that up online on a website as well.
Absolutely. I mean, it just seems to me that that is a way of focusing. I mean, if we could put half of the energy that goes into the competition between football teams at SC and UCLA, if we get half of that energy focused on creating new jobs in Orange County, I think it would be tremendous.
Oh, I agree with you. That would be wonderful. And in that competition, I'm from USC. That's where I got my master's degree.
Okay. All right. Well, it sounds to me like I did not grow up in Southern California. I grew up in Texas. It sounds to me like everybody has to declare one way or the other between USC and UCLA.
Oh, yes. It's part of the culture here. Part of the culture.
I see.
Well, you certainly don't have a Texas accent.
Well, you know, sometimes when you move, you have to leave some things behind. They just don't fit in the moving van.
Well, I like your idea of the billboard, and it makes me think, you know, even in a designated space, perhaps we could put a banner of some sort that would have the latest and greatest on jobs that are added at those businesses who did it. Yeah. There's so many different types of media that we could tap into to get that word out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, one place that my fantasy is in Orange is right around the roundabout downtown.
In the plaza area.
Yeah.
That would be great.
And it just would be highlighting the dedication of the city leaders. I know, I have clients in Orange, and I know Allied Modular Building Systems. They are adding salespeople right now. And so, I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that should go on that list.
I agree with you. And I think that some businesses also could probably use instruction on at what level of their personal budget would it be safe for them to take one off, to take a new job on, or at what level is it too risky? That's something that seasoned businesses could share and teach to other businesses. And I really love your idea of tapping into Chapman's entrepreneurial business school. That is, it's going to take, it has taken innovation to get out of the crisis we've been in. And I know at the city we were very, very creative about being able to fill that budget gap where millions and millions of dollars of sales tax evaporated from us practically overnight.
Yeah.
But we're coming back. Yep.
Well, you know, reading, I don't know if you've read Jim Clifton's book called The Coming Jobs War.
Yes, I've read excerpts of it.
Well, that to me makes a very clear case that that the heart and soul of any community, especially a community like Orange, or many of the other communities in Orange County, that the heart and soul of that is supported by the tax base.
Yes.
And the tax base really has to do with the payroll.
Yes, it does. And it's so important because, you know, taxes are generated by spending. And if you don't have the income to spend, you can't assist in generating that income.
Yeah.
That's what the,
yeah. I mean, when I think of people like Kevin Pythman over at Allied Modular, he thinks in terms long-term. And when he thinks about how he's going to add new people, add new jobs, he has a very clear plan about where he, you know, when in his, in the life of his company, when certain thresholds are met, he will hire new people. And then he has a plan for how he will get to those thresholds. It's not just a passive, if it happens, then I will have to. He has some very specific goals. And he works toward those goals. And I just wonder if that's something that would be helpful to enroll people, business owners in Orange, to begin to lay out some goals of not necessarily revenue goals, although those are important, but to lay out some specific job creation goals and have their success measured by that. That, to me, when business begins to look at those kinds of metrics, I think it becomes very magic and very powerful.
I agree with you, Will. And there's the second member for our task force right there next to Ray from Chapman University.
Uh-huh. Well, I think people like Kevin Pythman would be wonderful additions to a task force like that. And
he's
making such a strong contribution right now. He's doing manufacturing here in Orange.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's one of those industrial businesses that I'm saying that we hardly notice, the industrial section of town, but it plays very heavily into our economy. And some businesses that have been here for 30, 40, 50 years and keep on ticking as the, you know, base and the heart and soul of our business revenues.
Yeah, he's located over on Nicholas Avenue, and that's a whole industrial area, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, well, I've been very impressed with the kind of things that he's done. He's a very, very creative guy, and I'm sure that there are other people in Orange that are equally creative who can help inspire other business people.
Oh, I'm sure there are, too. I've met so many people at the Orange Chamber of Commerce. The chamber put on a business day of workshop and a seminar a couple weeks ago called Strut Your Stuff for Women, women in Business. And it was a magnificent day, great camaraderie and a lot of encouragement for women to step out, also to connect with each other to improve their businesses. There were some men there as well. It was a very, very nice day. And I love the creativity of people. Well, people have solved problems and created such wonderful circumstance in communities for so many years, especially in Orange. Like I said, we've been built on small businesses that have grown into large, vibrant businesses, and we have our great history of community service and celebration, so many volunteer organizations that provide amenities to folks in the community. There's so much creativity there that I would like to direct that now towards job mm-hmm. and launching a program where each business in Orange grows itself.
Yeah. Well, that's certainly an inspiring goal out of the 20,000 business licenses. If you could get half of those businesses to hire the equivalent of one full-time person, I think would that be significant to have 10,000 new jobs in Orange?
Oh, I think so. I think it would be. There's about a population of 140,000
mm-hmm.
In Orange. 10,000 would be a very significant piece to
yeah.
add 10,000 jobs in the city of Orange.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been wonderful talking with you, Tita. What are there any other things that you'd like to discuss?
Well, I'm always interested in hearing from a person like you, Will, is what inspires you to focus on business and your radio program and inspiring others. What is it about business that's intriguing to you?
Well, it seems to me that business is, if you had to look at one institution that has raised the most people out of poverty, it would be business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, charity is extremely important, and you work with Catholic Charities, right?
Yes, I do. I'm the executive director.
All right, so those things are very important. To help somebody become self-sustaining and productive, to me, means that they somehow have participated in business, either creating a business or going to work for somebody to help them with their business. But someplace, business plays that role in helping somebody become self-sustaining and highly productive. So I am fascinated with the obstacles to creating more businesses and strengthening the businesses that are there. You know, it's very clear to me that potholes in the road are paid for by payroll, by people who have, you know, who have money to spend, and by state taxes that come from payroll taxes. Education, hospitals, those come from a strong tax base. And when it shrinks, as we've seen it shrink dramatically, that becomes very difficult to sustain the kind of lifestyle that we have grown accustomed to and want to continue. So I'm always very interested in business, and my particular you know, the way I put food on the table is to work with businesses in helping advise them on their management, on their sales management, on their salespeople, and how to improve their salespeople's productivity. Because to me, like I mentioned in the beginning, the business owners will hire new people when they believe that new revenue is there. And the new
yeah.
revenue comes when designated salespeople start prospecting to bring in new business. And it without that, the economy's flat.
Indeed. And I have had the pleasure of meeting so many people through the Chamber of Commerce, through the Orange County Business Council, who is endorsing me for mayor, and also through the OC Tax Association, who is endorsing me for mayor. Meeting people who are so committed to your thought that business is the one institution that brings success in our nation, raises the most people out of poverty, gives self-worth to so many, allows people to raise a family, to live in safe and beautiful environments here in sunny Southern California. And it takes people like you who are fascinated with obstacles to creating business to get over those obstacles. So we got to have you on our jobs task force as well, Will.
Well, I'd be happy to talk about that. It sounds like a real challenge and a lot of fun.
Okay.
Listen, Tita, this has been wonderful. You know, sometimes at the end of the show, we give people a microphone and a minute. So I think that's very appropriate to give you a microphone and a minute to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay. Is it all right if I talk about running for mayor of
you
the city
right
of Orange?
You go right ahead. I think that would be wonderful.
All right. Well, I thank you for this opportunity today to speak about a subject very near and dear to my heart, which is my hometown of Orange. And as I mentioned previously, my father and my grandfather had a business for over 65 years in the city of Orange. My grandfather grew oranges, they sold oranges, they had open-air produce markets, and then morphed into Smith's Nut House with candies, nuts, and dried fruits and gifts for the later years of my dad's life. And I have always appreciated how fascinating and viable and necessary good business is in Orange. This is one of the reasons that I would like to be the mayor of Orange, where we elect a mayor on November 6th, and I would ask for people's vote if they are with me in revitalizing our economy. In the meantime, I thank you, Will, for the opportunity to speak on a topic I love, the city of Orange, and making Orange even more beautiful and better than it is today. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks so much, Tita, for being with us. It's been wonderful being with you.
Thank you, Will.
Well, there you have it, a wonderful candidate for mayor in Orange with lots of ideas on how to revitalize, challenge, and put more energy into job creation, focus on job creation in Orange, see what she could do to marshal a task force to find out what the obstacles are, to find out what the energy level is, and to find out what can be done, encourage people to move on and take some of that SCUCLA energy and apply it to our local towns. All right, so this is the Pilgrim on the 405 saying, make it a great day. I look forward to talking with you next week.